Welcome back to the show. Len Martez here with you on a Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430 right here in the New River Valley. And one of New River Valley's finest, Christopher Coleman of TexasSideline.com. What's up, Chris?
Not much, man. How about yourself?
How was that bird for you, man? How was that turkey for you this week?
It was excellent.
Was it?
It was excellent. Man, I had some good eating on Thursday.
You look a little heavy.
Yeah.
Let's get into what the Hokies did this past Saturday. 33-21 victory over the Cavaliers. Now 10-2, winning that Coastal Division. Let me ask you, were you one of those ones that said they're going to win the Coastal Division when the season started?
Yeah, I picked Virginia Tech to win the Coastal Division when the season started. You know, even when they started off slow, I remember walking out of the game after the Ohio game, and people at my tailgate were just pretty much sad, thinking it was going to be a bad year. And I told them, you know, chill out. We're going to win the Coastal Division. There's not that many, you know, at that point, there weren't that many good football teams in the ACC, and there aren't that many now. You know, you talk about teams that were in competition at that point for the Coastal Division. You were thinking Georgia Tech, Miami, and Virginia, and you looked at Virginia Tech, always beats Virginia. They had Miami at home. The big question mark at that point was at Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech looked like a better team then than they actually turned out to be. But, you know, I was pretty confident that that Tech would win the Coastal Division. Finished with the same record I predicted them to finish, 10-2, 7-1 in conference. You know, this is a team that got better as the year went on, and obviously it was a team – at the beginning of the year, they had a lot of room to get better, and they did that.
You talked about the Ohio game and even the ECU game, and you even talked about how this team had a lot of room to get better and how it got better as the season went along. One of the things that definitely got better, Chris, was this team got off to leads in the latter part of the year. Games, they started with lead. They even did that this past Saturday. First two possessions, put up 10 points. That's got to help when you start playing football, especially with the defense that the Hokies can put out there for four quarters. Tell me what you think the keys have been to turning that around and getting off to good starts.
Well, you know, I think anytime you get basically two offensive line starters back, you know, you get Ed Wang back, and then you get Nick Marshman back at guard, I think that's huge. And then Brandon Orr's gotten healthier as the season's gone on. The quarterback rotation has worked brilliantly. So, you know, everything's just clicking on offense right now. And the Hokies are coming out confident, you know. I mean, they've averaged over 400 yards a game the past four games. Who would have ever thought that, you know, after the William and Mary game, when Tech only put up about 260 yards and couldn't get a running game going against the Tribe at all? Who would have ever thought that? But, you know, now Tech's just on a roll, and they're a very confident football team. They believe they can go out there and move the ball against anybody, and so far they've been able to.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TexasSideline.com joining you on a Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430. Before we talk about Brandon Orr, I do want to talk about the quarterback situation. 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions since the Duke game. That's Sean Glennon. Season started. Where were you when we talked about Sean Glennon? You were maybe one of those guys where you said, he's got to learn to take care of the football. He's got to learn to take care of football. How much trust has Sean earned in you?
I've always been a guy who likes Sean more than most Tech fans. You know, obviously there was a lot of room for improvement there. But, you know, the guy was a first-year starter last year. And at the beginning of this season, he was playing behind an atrocious offensive line. And, you know, when they made Tyrod Taylor the starter after the LSU game, I thought it was a correct decision at the time, because you needed a guy at that point who was mobile and you know, could get out of the pocket, because, you know, pressure was going to be coming. But I think he stepped back after he got benched and just dedicated himself to becoming a better football player. I don't know if he'd be as good right now if he hadn't gotten benched. I'll put it that way. I think that's maybe an extra motivating factor. But either way, you know, both guys are playing like starters right now. Virginia Tech has two starting quarterbacks right now. You know, it's not a quarterback controversy at all, because they're both starters, they're both playing. You know, and as much as Brian Steinspring gets criticized by a lot of people, I cannot imagine anyone handling this quarterback situation any better than he has here in the second half of the season.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TexasSideline.com on ESPN 1430. You know what, you make a good point as far as Sean Glennon handling that situation as far as being benched the way he did. He had an opportunity to go one of two ways. fork in the road. He could have went left. He could have went right. He went the right way and made it a good situation. What it also gave him an opportunity to sit back and watch the game and also just kind of let's sit back and get experience from the sidelines. And people don't give that any value as far as sitting on the sidelines and seeing things and having that experience. But what it also avoided, Chris, was the fact that he didn't have the opportunity to play in games where he had to feel like everything was on his shoulders behind a bad offensive line. Although Tyrod Taylor handled it well from the standpoint of his mobility is concerned, Sean's not that guy. And because he's not that guy, it could have turned into something real bad.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It could have turned into something bad. You know, one other thing he didn't have at the beginning of the season was a rushing game. There was absolutely no way Virginia Tech was running the ball on anybody at the beginning of the season. They couldn't run the ball on William and Mary, you know? I mean, from that standpoint, Glennon had no chance because the only thing the opposing defenses really had to concentrate on was Tech's wide receivers and Sam Wheeler, and that's it. Now, Tech is pretty much putting the total package out there on the field at offense. Granted, they're minus Sam Wheeler, and if Sam Wheeler was in the lineup, imagine how much better Tech's offense would be with that tight end passing threat. But, you know, right now, obviously, I'm very pleased with where the offense is. They're moving people off the football. They still got stuff to clean up in their pass protection, but everything is much, much improved.
And you talked about the running game and having that running game back now, not having it at the beginning of the season against William and Mary and NC and Ohio, whomever it might have been they played. Now they finally get that running game going. The guy that we've always talked about all year long about being banged up, whether or not the injuries are because of he came into camp late and came into camp out of shape. Brandon Orr gets that 100-yard game. I know you were tired of me asking you, when is Brandon Orr going to get that 100-yard game? When is Brandon Orr going to get that 100-yard game? He finally got it this week. But more impressive than anything else, yes, season high 147 yards, Chris, but he had 80 yards in the fourth quarter. You talked about moving people off the football. That's where an offense wants to be in the fourth quarter, just pounding it at you.
You know, that's the Brandon Orr that everybody remembers from last season. Not only a guy who's going to rush for a lot of yards, but a guy who has that jump cut, a guy who is a lot stronger than he looks. I mean, that guy can just run through tackles. You know, you got to get your shoulder pads into him. You can't arm tackle him because he's going to break tackles. But also as a guy who gets stronger as the game goes on. You saw him against UVA in that fourth quarter when Tech needed to run time off the clock, and he just pounded the ball down UVA's throats, and, you know, there wasn't a lot they could do about it. You know, he's a guy who still has a chance for a 1,000-yard season. He only needs 179 more yards, you know, and I think he's going to get over 100 of those against Boston College this weekend. You know, I think Virginia Tech has some advantages in this game that they didn't have before, namely Tyrod Taylor coming back, and BC's got some injuries on defense, so I think Orr's production is going to continue to go up.
You know what's impressive also, Chris, is the fact that, you know, with a defense like what Virginia runs, it's a 3-4 defense, aligned to stop the run, and the Hokies were able to run the football, not just run the football against a 3-4 defense when they knew you were going to run the football.
Right, exactly. Virginia knew what was coming in that fourth quarter. They know how Frank Beamer coaches. You know, when you have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, you're gonna run the football and run the clock. You know, I thought Ryan Schumann played an excellent game. In fact, he got a game ball afterwards. It's important when you're playing a 3-4 to get a block on that nose guard and not have to double-team him. And Ryan Schumann blocked anybody that UVA tried to put in front of him, you know. And Dwayne Brown did an excellent job on Chris Long. He did about as well as you can do on Chris Long as anybody could do. I believe he graded out at 89%. So, you know, that offensive line is just on a roll, man. Ed Wang is banged up, and the doctors say they don't know how he finished the game the other day. He sprained a couple ligaments in his ankle. It's just a testament to his toughness that he was able to hang in there.
Let's hop on the other side. We're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com on ESPN 1430 on a Champs Wednesday. Catch it up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Let's jump on the other side and talk about a guy that started off the season slow. The whole defensive line pretty much started off slow. Not a lot of pressure coming from the defensive line. A lot like the running game. Started the season slow, picked it up, has been great the last five games, just like the offensive line. But let's talk about a guy that probably doesn't get a lot of love that had an outstanding game against the Cavaliers on Saturday. That's Barry Booker. One and a half sacks, solid game from him.
You talk about 4.5 tackles for loss from a defensive tackle.
That's a season for some guys.
Oh, that's a season for some guys. I mean, Barry Booker, you know, he basically just dominated Lipsy and Ian Yates Cunningham for UVA. I mean, they didn't stand much of a chance of blocking him. He's stronger than people give him credit for, but his main advantage is his quickness. You know, he's a guy who in some schemes could play defensive end because he's very quick in there. And he's had a great year. Carlton Powell has had a great year. Poor Carlton had to go up against Brandon Albert the other day, who I think is NFL ready right now. He's a great guard for UVA. But Barry Booker really, really deserved that All-ACC honor that he got the other day. But right now, I don't think there's a defensive tackle in the ACC playing better than him.
Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about a man that had a career high in receptions. We haven't talked about him yet a lot because he was banged up against the Yellow Jackets and Georgia Tech. Came back since then and finally had a solid game on Saturday, and that's Eddie Royal. Good game for him. Had that little screw-up, but bounced back and had a solid game and even got more upset after making that turnover.
You know, he had Greg Boone wide open down the middle. You know, if he'd thrown it to him, it could have been a touchdown right there. You know, and we're not talking about it being a good game going into the fourth quarter. Big momentum swing with that interception, but, you know, he more than made up for it. Six catches, what was it, 140-some yards? 147 yards for Royal. He always has good games against UVA, and that just goes back to the speed advantage Virginia Tech has. He is Virginia Tech's space guy when it comes to the passing game. You get him out there in space, he's going to beat those guys for UVA. But, you know, UVA has a corner, Chris Cook, a very good football player, but probably more suited for a safety. And Vic Hall, I don't think, is a natural cornerback. So there were some matchup advantages there. I think they got him ISO'd on Jamar Jackson, UVA's 225-pound strong safety, on that touchdown right before the half. So there are a lot of matchup advantages for Eddie Royal in this game, and he took advantage of it. And he's had long touchdown receptions the past 3 years now against UVA, so he always plays well against his in-state rival.
Yeah, actually, three straight years he's had a touchdown against UVA. All right, Christopher, we got to let you get out of here. We'll talk again, though, when we talk a little bit about that ACC championship game this weekend in Jacksonville. Thanks for the time, brother.
Not a problem, man.
Be good, man. All right, Len Martez here with you on ESPN 1430. Later on in the show, next segment, we're going to give you a chance to win some gift certificates to Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Going to pop off a question to you and give you a chance to win some lunch like we just had today from Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430 right here, the Len Martez Show. Short time out on the show. Thanks to Chris Coleman of TechSidelines.com. We'll be right back on ESPN 1430.